If you want to read along, turn to Micah. That's about seven books back from Matthew. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. I'll give you a moment while you're turning and finding that passage. Micah is called by some a minor prophet. I do not know why they do that. Maybe because it's smaller. But Micah is no minor than any other prophet.
That's right.
Micah was contemporary with Isaiah. That is, Micah preached during the same time that the prophet Isaiah preached. Micah was a what we might call a country preacher. He was not in Jerusalem as Isaiah was. Micah warns, just as Isaiah did, of the coming captivity of God's people because of their sin. The rich maltreated the poor.
Yep.
This is about God's people. This is not about society in general.
That's right. Exactly.
That's what this is about. I am not here to preach a social message. Has nothing to do with that. I've often thought of even this. God gives to some and does not to others. And then we want to tax those he gives to and give it to those God didn't give it to. But it ain't about that.
Exactly.
This is about God's people. The Apostle Paul never worried himself in any scripture as to whether or not the Senate would rise again. Never, he wasn't concerned about that. It was not the concern. Micah's concern is not simply about social welfare, but the rich were robbing the poor of their promises in the land. The prophets were prophesying falsely when the people walked in rebellion against God, and the false prophets were saying, everything's okay. Peace, peace. We're God's people. And Micah prophesies of that coming Babylonian captivity. He mainly speaks of Assyria, which was the first rush in, but he also spoke of Babylon, which at that time was not the superpower that they were worried about. Which validates Micah's prophecy, just as it did Isaiah's prophecy. That's the backdrop. Israel's rebellion against God. They were sinners.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
They were sinners. Now, Micah chapter 7, listen to these words. The last closing phrase from Micah. The first phrase here in verse 18 is a play on Micah's name. Who is a God like unto thee?
Yes.
That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old.
Amen.
What a passage. What a passage. What an end to this book in light of the circumstances concerning which Micah prophesied and prophesied against.
Yep.
The princes and the prophets of Judah and Israel that defamed God's truth. And yet Micah is moved by God to end with these words. Notice the ending of Micah is not, "and they shall beat their swords into plowshares."
That's true.
It's this right here.
Yes, sir.
Because the beating of swords into plowshares is of no value if justice is not first satisfied.
That's right.
God would be a mockery if all he did was promise swords one day will be beat into plowshares. The United Nations has that on the building in New York.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
They don't believe that.
You're right.
But they don't. They definitely don't understand the foundation upon which that will come.
Exactly.
What a passage. What an end to this book. But even more than that, what hope for sinners in our day. "I am the Lord," one prophet said. "I change not." What a gospel trumpet. This ain't talking merely about their release from Babylonian captivity. Yes, God came and visited them in Babylon. He did for them in line with what these last few verses says. But that's not the fulfillment of Micah's prophecy. The Babylonian captivity and its release therefrom was and would have been nothing but a temporary relief had not Jesus Christ come and visited his people in his condescension into this world.
Amen.
What a gospel trumpet this is. I have six questions to ask this group this morning. Number one, is there anyone here today familiar with iniquity? Anybody here familiar with iniquity? The word means perversity. And it means perversity of all kinds, whether it be immorality, whether it be morality, whether it be religious, or whether it be irreligious. It is perversity. It is that which is twisted from the truth of God. Perversity. Perversity in soul and in deeds. Not just in deeds, but not just in soul either, but in soul and in deeds. Anybody here today familiar with that? Anybody familiar with iniquity? I am. I am. It's like that incessant mosquito. You ever had one of them?
Yeah.
And the more you swat, the worse it seems like it gets. It's like that gnat that doesn't just fly in your mouth, but flies into the back of your throat, and you cannot but swallow it. You don't get rid of it, you just swallow it. Anybody here this morning familiar with iniquity? That may seem like a simple enough question, but you know what? There are some circles, many circles in this world. There are many places similar to this one, probably far better and elaborate than this one, where people gather probably by the hundreds, but they have no familiarity with iniquity. Here's my second question. Is there anyone here today familiar with transgression? Transgression. Transgression means to revolt. To rebel in soul and in deeds. In heart, word, and mind. Anybody here this morning familiar with that? This is exactly opposite of the way most so-called preachers will be presenting their messages this morning. They will be appealing to good people. Or they will be appealing to bad people to turn themselves around and become good people. But Micah's message of blessing is to bad people.
right.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Is there anyone here today familiar with iniquity? Anyone here today familiar with transgression? Question number three. Is there anyone here today who exalts? Anyone here today who honors? Anyone here today who seeks and sees the justice of God's anger against iniquity and transgression? My iniquity and my transgression even. Anyone here today who exalts that? That says God's right to be angry.
Exactly. Yeah.
And yet this religious world, many men similar to me in appearance and doing what I do as far as physically, are trying to appeal unto men that God is really not angry. God is oozing with love for you.
Yeah.
Now I ask, is there anyone here today who exalts, who honors, who sees the justice of God's anger against my iniquity and my transgression? God is right to be angry with me. And much, much more.
Right.
He's right.
Yeah.
It goes to the point which many have brought up. Men become angry when they hear, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. And this world has been so brainwashed by pseudo-Christianity. They say, God hates someone?
Oh yeah.
When if we really understood our iniquity and our transgression, we would cry out, God really loves anyone?
Exactly.
That would be the amazing thing.
Yes.
But we've been lied to so long, it's all twisted up. And that's just more of the perversion and the revolt.
Exactly. That's right.
Now this leads me to my fourth question. Is there anyone here today not offended in God's right to the remnant? God's right to choose.
Yes, sir.
Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by what? The transgression of the remnant of his heritage.
Amen. That's it.
It's a rare thing to find someone not offended in God's right to choose.
Right.
It's a rare thing. We're not talking just about a doctrine. We're talking about the character, or maybe better, the attribute of God.
Yeah.
Is anyone here today not offended in God's right to the remnant, God's right to choose? Number five, the fifth question. Is there anyone here today who rejoices in absolutely free election? You say, well, that ain't in here. Oh, yes, it is. He mentions Jacob.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Jacob. Now, since it was true in that day, almost 2,700 or 2,800 years ago, how much more so today when we have an inspired writer moved to delineate it even in more detail in Romans chapter 9, that the children being not yet born, the children, not just nations, but the children, these two little babies, we got two here this morning. But in these two little babies, in these two, the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of him, or I missed it. It's of him that calleth. It's all of God. It was said unto the mother, God hates one, and God loves the other. Anybody offended in that? The absolute free election. I remember, I think it was Henry Mahan gave an account of a preacher who said the most hated doctrine in the world, the subject of election. But that one preacher was then rebuffed and said, but you could also present it the most loved doctrine in the world. It's just according to who you're talking about.
Exactly.
The sixth question. Is there anyone here today? And I mean that I'm talking to you all. Is there anyone here today who rejoices in the unilateral, immutable covenant promise made by God Himself, and He swore on it? Is that here? Oh yeah, Abraham. Abraham. Think of it. Hebrews chapter 6 puts it this way, that God made promise to Abraham, but because he could swear by no greater, he did what? He swore by himself. So that we might have strong consolation, who have what? Fled for refuge. Who needs to flee for refuge? People like Micah's talking about here.
Yes, sir.
People like me.
Yep.
People like you.
Yes, sir.
To flee means you run away from something. For refuge means you run away to something.
Exactly.
And there's a reason why you run away and run too. A reason from both. Is there anyone here this morning like that? Then hear the words again. Who is a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity. Aren't you glad?
Yes, sir.
And passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Doesn't that make you rejoice?
Yes, sir.
God's got a heritage?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he does.
Amen.
I want to be one.
Yes, sir.
And yet unbelief says there can't be one. Then there's no hope. He retaineth not his anger forever. That's a good thing. Huh? That's a good thing. And the summary is why? Because he delighteth. He delighteth in mercy. We've, even in ourselves, we know these things. We've experienced these things. We believe these things. But I think these things are partially still blinded to us because we have, most of us, been brought up under the lie that God's love is so universal and free to everybody that these things don't matter anyway. Are we not?
Oh, yeah.
And even if we weren't brought up under it, we're so surrounded by it everywhere we exist, you can't get away from it even when you turn on the TV and listen to Hollywood.
You're right.
If you do that thing. Because he delighteth in mercy.
Yes.
He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. He's the one that's going to cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He will perform the truth to Jacob. He will perform the mercy to Abraham because he swore on it.
Yes.
And that's the way it's going to be. Somebody like me says, that's good news.
Amen.
That's good news. Did you happen to hear all the he's and the thou's?
Yeah.
Where is one thing here of the you's?
Exactly.
Y-O-U, is it apostrophe? Whatever it is. No mention here of the people. It's all of God.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Now, even when I was in religion, I was taught that's true for Israel in the millennium.
There you go.
But it can't be true now because God loves everybody. And I used to think, although not too long, sadly, how can that be? Is God going to change?
There you
But I figured myself not as smart as those who were teaching me. Come to find out, none of us were smart. We were all totally depraved.
Exactly.
We didn't get, none of us got it. None of us got it. No, any sinner that's ever saved, he or she is being saved, has been saved, is being saved, and shall be saved according to the acts of God in Micah chapter 7, verses 18, 19, and 20.
Amen.
From the first one to the last one. Note, they, read it again for yourself sometime. The he's, he will, he will, he will, he will.
Yes, sir.
I don't dislike that. I got to have that.
Amen. Exactly.
Take note of who moves first. He will. Right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities.
Yes, sir.
When you think of that, do you think of Saul of Tarsus being bowed down on the road to Damascus? You should.
Yeah.
You should. There's a man whose iniquities were subdued.
Yes, sir.
Even in his practice, Mason, his life was totally different from that moment on.
Yes, sir.
He was not sinless. But his iniquities had been subdued. Yeah. But let me tell you something. Had God only done that, that man and anyone else would still die and go to hell.
That's right.
Because, first of all, our iniquities had to be subdued at Calvary.
Amen.
Exactly.
Justice had to be satisfied by the holy blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Amen.
In Him.
Amen.
All the conversions in the world wouldn't have saved one person from eternal damnation and doom apart from the person and work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. It may have been a fine deliverance, but it could have only at best may have been temporary. We could have never entered into God's presence other than God throws justice to the wind, and God never throws justice to the wind. Never. So take note. Who moves first? Who deals with the problem? Sin, iniquity, transgression. Who's the one that's going to subdue that?
Yeah.
Well, you just got to conquer yourself. You can't do it. I can't do it. I tried for years. I thought I had. See how deceived we are? We can be. Take note who moves first. Take note who deals with the problem. And take note of the certain promise of His sworn actions. God says, I swore on it. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, to be one of that group.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, to be one of this group right here, right? And yet all around us, so-called Christianity says, there can't be such a group like that.
Yeah.
We all have to be equal. We are equal, equally depraved, equally full of iniquity, equally full of transgression, equally full of sin.
Yeah.
We are totally depraved.
Yes, sir.
And it takes a sovereign act of a sovereign God in mercy and compassion to ever save even one sinner.
Amen.
Even one sinner. Look at it. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy. And notice Jacob is mentioned first, because we're all Jacobs before we're Abrahams in that sense. In that sense. By nature, we're all Jacobs. It's only by the grace of God we become Abrahams. Or I should rather say his seed, the seed thereof. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn. Oh, when God allows me to grasp that,
yes, sir.
It is relief. You know that? And usually I'm enabled to grasp it the most when I'm gathered with somebody else that grasps it with me. Usually. Sometimes it's hard to grasp it by yourself. Because all you see is yourself. My conclusion? Great day. It's just 10 till. I need to go back and rehash this some more. No. My conclusion? My message this morning is to sinners, 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 sinners. Not those who used to be sinners. If you used to be a sinner, I got nothing for you.
Exactly.
I got nothing for you. Sinners, I say this, take heart.
Amen.
But don't I have to bow down? You will be. You will be. Sinners, take heart. Sinners, there is hope.
Yes.
But I don't believe like I should. None of us do.
There you go.
I don't repent. Like the very fact that we have to repent lets us know that we're still sinners. And repentance is a good thing.
Yeah.
But yet it manifests my constant, total corruption in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And as Tim James says, sometimes I got to even repent of my repentance.
There you go.
We're just a confounded mess. Bzzz, and that, you know, buzzing around. You can't get away from it.
Yeah. That's it.
Because truly, that mosquito, that gnat, it ain't out here.
Yeah.
It's down in here.
Right.
Sinner, I say to you, take heart. Sinner, I say to you, there is hope. Sinner, I ask you this one more question. Has God so visited you,
there you go,
in this way?
Amen.
That's what I ask you.
Amen.
Do you see your sins? How many of you see your sins this morning? I do. God doesn't.
There you go. That's right.
He cast them into the depths of the sea.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you see them. You're going to see them. You're always going to see them. But he don't.
Amen.
And after all, isn't that what matters?
Amen.
Well, if I could just get rid of them. You can't the way you want to. He got rid of them at Calvary.
Amen.
He purged them there. Rest in him.
Amen.
But I don't see the evidence in myself. As one preacher said, when you do that, you're looking in an empty box.
Right. There you go.
But I don't see enough evidence in myself. You're looking in an empty box.
Right.
Don't look to yourself. Don't look at yourself.
Yeah.
Look to him.
Amen.
Look unto me, God says, and be ye saved.
Yeah.
All the ends of the earth.
Amen.
Sinner, take heart. Sinner, there is hope. Sinner, has God visited you in this way? Sinner, it's not about your action. It's all about God's action.
Amen.
Have you experienced that action? Have you? Now listen. If you're not for sure if you have, you haven't. Hear me now. If you're not for sure if you have it, because you don't experience this and not know it. Sure. Look at the example of it. Babylonian captivity. God brought them out of it. You think somebody didn't know when they were released from that bondage? Now come on now.
There you go.
Huh? Now come on. Do you think that anyone could go through 1,000 years of Christ reigning on this earth over all things with a rod of iron and not realize it? Huh? No. It says the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. How completely does the waters cover the sea? Absolutely. It's not sea if it don't have water over it. It's called land.
Exactly.
You see, when God Almighty does this work, you'll know it.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll know it. But I'm not sure about myself. Quit looking to yourself. It's not about you. It's about what God has done. Has he done that for you?
Yeah.
And if you're not sure, you best fall on your face before God and cry that he does.
Yeah.
And it'll be up to him whether he does or not.
Yeah.
The whole of Micah is summed up this way. Rest.
Yeah.
Think of it. The people of Israel were going into captivity, and there was not a thing they could do about it.
Right.
Yet they were told to repent, Mac.
Yeah.
So repentance is not always going to bring a negation of all the circumstances.
Exactly.
The circumstances will be there, and they may be horrendous and sour, but God will visit.
Amen.
God will visit. Oh, that we might see this. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He's going to do it. He's going to turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. He will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. He'll perform the work, because he swore he would.
Amen.
Now, you can't have any more than that. But what if I think I got it and I don't? You'll perish. And there's not a thing you can do about it. What if my profession's been false? You can't make another false one and make it okay. You and I are in God's sovereign hand to do with as he pleases. Now just take him for it.
There you go.
But I deserve hell. He delights in mercy.
Amen.
You see it? And if I'm a vessel of mercy, mercy I have.
Amen.
If I'm a vessel of wrath, know this.
Yeah.
Nothing will change that.
Yeah. You're right.
No matter how many religious convulsions I go through, nothing will ever change that.
You're right.
Because it's all God's work. Father, comfort us in these things. Calls that force us, Lord, to look away from ourselves and to look to you. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.